Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome, listeners, to another edition of Muslims Perspectives. Thank you for tuning in. Today's selection from the Quran is taken from Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, verses 21 to 25 of the Quran. Let's listen in.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا أذقنا الناس رحمة من بعد ضراء مستهم إذا لهم مكر في آياتنا قل الله أسرع مكرا إن رسلنا يكتبون ما تمكرون هو الذي يسيركم في البر والبحر حتى إذا كنتم في الفلك وجرين بهم بريح طيبة وفرحوا بها جاءتها ريح عاصف وجاءهم الموج من كل مكان وظنوا أنهم أحيط بهم دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين لئن أنجيتنا من هذه لنكونن من الشاكرين فلما أنجاهم إذا هم يبغون في الأرض بغير الحق يا أيها الناس إنما بغيكم على أنفسكم متاع الحياة الدنيا ثم إلينا مرجعكم فننبئكم بما كنتم تعملون إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
That selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 10 verses 21 to 25 and the English translation is, In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. When we give people a taste of mercy after being afflicted with a hardship, they swiftly devise plots against our revelations. Say, O Prophet, God is swifter in devising punishment. Surely our messenger angels record whatever you devise. He, God, is the one who enables you to travel through land and sea. And it so happens that you are on ships sailing with a favorable wind, to the passengers' delight. Suddenly, the ships are overcome by a gale wind, and those on board are overwhelmed by waves from every side, and they assume they are doomed. They cry out to God alone in sincere devotion, saying, If you save us from this, we will certainly be grateful. But as soon as he rescues them, they transgress in the land unjustly. O humanity, your transgression is only against your own souls. There is only brief enjoyment in this worldly life. Then to us is your return, and then we will inform you of what you used to do. The life of this world is just like rain. We send down from the sky, producing a mixture of plants which humans and animals consume. Then just as the earth looks the best, perfectly beautified, and its people think that they have full control over it, there comes to it our command by night or by day. So we mow it down as if it never flourished yesterday. This is how we make the signs clear for people who reflect. And Allah invites all to the mercy, to the home of peace, and guides whoever he wills to the straight path. On the line, we have Sheikh Zahir Bakas, who is the Imam at Jamaati Ul Ansar, Great Lakes Mosque, as well as a principal of Low Tree Islamic School. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa ta'aleem.
Kindly give us a further explanation of this selection, please.
Sure, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, these verses from Surah Yunus are important for us to reflect upon. And one of the most telling things is at the end of verse 24, God Almighty, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He says that, and this is how we make the signs clear for people who reflect. Meaning that God Almighty, he sends signs. There are signs for us. There are signs in the heaven and the earth, the sun, the land. There are signs in our daily lives. God Almighty puts signs everywhere we go that leads us back to him. Leads us back to understanding that this world is just temporary. That it's going to come to an end. That we have an appointed time in it. We don't know when that appointed time is, but we do have an appointed time in which we are going to leave this world. So all of that together, the signs of Allah, the signs of God, the fact that we're going to journey back to our Lord, the signs that God places is who gets it? who understand it? لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. It's clear signs for people who reflect, meaning that you have to be a person that wants to reflect. If things don't go well in your life, reflect. Why is this happening? If things are going well in your life, reflect. Why am I getting so much blessings when I know people who don't have it? So that's the first thing. So these verses, God Almighty, He places them, He wants to give us lessons. One of the lessons that He says in the first verse is, when people taste the mercy after they're inflicted with hardship, they come against the Prophet and God. They come against them. They say, why? They forget. They forget about the one who gave them blessings, and they forget about the one who rescued them, saved them from their difficulty, gave them a way out. The one who opened up the doors for a solution to the issues that they were facing. They forget. They cry onto him, and then they swiftly forget. So they cry out to Allah. People cry out to God when they're in difficulty. They cry out. When they're in extreme hardship, when they're tested, they raise their hands, they cry to their Lord, and so forth. And then when God saves them, then they forget. Then they forget. But they promise God that they're not going to forget through their difficulty. When they're in difficulty and calling upon Him, they're saying, no, we won't forget. We're not going to forget. We will be grateful. That's what they're saying. لَأَكُونَ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We are certainly going to be for amongst the grateful ones. But when He rescues them, Allah says, and جَاهُمْ, when He gives them najah, safety, rescues them, they start back transgressing. They start back doing the things that they did before. They forget. So God informs them that they are going to return to Him. God informs them, their return is what will happen. And so God Almighty wants us to reflect upon it. He wants us to reflect. And He uses these parables in the Quran, like in the 24th verse, the life of this world is just like rain, that we send it down from the sky, producing a mixture of plants which humans and animals consume. That the rain, we don't produce it. We don't make rain. God makes it. God makes it fall. God makes the earth come back to life when the rain comes, produces greenery, so that we can consume and animals consume. And then when the earth looks at its very best, and God beautifies it, and we think now we have control over it. We can go plant, we can gather the plant, we can harvest, we can get to eat, we turn it into food, and so forth. When we think we have complete control over it, God Almighty, then what does He do? God Almighty brings His command to it and destroys it. Maybe by rain, maybe by a hurricane, maybe by some weather pattern. He mows it down like it wasn't even there yesterday. And God wants these people of who sees this to reflect that this is the might of God. This is the control of God. And whatever we get, be thankful for it. If we're faced with a hardship, be grateful to Allah that it's not worse. And ask Him. And then hold patience through your hardship and through your test. And if you are in joy, then thank God. Thank Him for it. You know, there's a hadith that explains this about and I'll quote this hadith from Anas bin Malik, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet, may God bless him and grant him peace, he says, "Yu'ta bi anam al ahlu dunya min ahlu nar yom al qiyamah." That God said, Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who's from the Ahlul Dunya, from the people of this world, will be taken to the next world. He'll go to the next world. And they are taken, they're people of this world, but they are destined for the fire. And he says, بِأَنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, meaning that أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا, they are the ones who were most blessed in this world. He takes them. God takes them. In the next world, the one who were most blessed in this world. وَيُسْبَغُ فِي النَّارِ, and he will give them a taste of the fire. Just one taste. One taste. They were the most blessed in this world. They had everything they ever wanted. They never recognize God, and they turn their back on God. So God will give them a taste, one taste of fire. He will dip them into the fire one moment, just for one moment. And then he will say to them, Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ خَيْرٌ خَبْ, have you ever seen goodness in this world? هَلْ بَرَّ بِكَ النَّعِيمُ, has any goodness ever crossed your path? And they will say, no. Wallahi ya Rabb, nothing good ever happened in this world. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said that they were the most blessed in this world. When they tasted the fire, they forgot all the good. They forgot all the good. Then the Prophet said, may God bless him and grant him peace. Then the Prophet said, يُؤْتَى بِأَشَدِّ النَّاسِ بُؤْسًا فِي الدُّنْيَا, that a second person will be brought who were the most severely tested in this world. They'll be brought on the next world. The most severely tested, the ones who had hardship all the time. فَيُسْبَغُوا سَبْقًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and God Almighty, because they had suffered, they were steadfast, and they worshipped Him, and they were thankful, but they were tried and tested. He will make them taste Jannah, paradise. They'll have one taste of paradise. And it would be said to them, Ya Ibn Adam, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَتْ, he will said to them and asked of them, O Ibn Adam, son of Adam, daughter of Adam, have you ever tasted any hardships in this world? Have you ever been tested severely in this world? Have you tasted any severe punishment? فَيَقُولُ, and they will say, لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا رَبْ مَا مَرَّ بِي بُؤْسٌ قَتْ, nothing bad ever happened to me in this world. Because the one taste of paradise, they forgot about all the hardship that they endured in this world. All of it. All the hardship, they forgot. Because when they were faced with hardship in this world, they turned to their Lord. When they were faced with hardship in this world, they were thankful for whatever relief that they had. When they faced with hardship in this world, and they asked their Lord to remove it from them, and He did, and they said they were going to be grateful, they followed through with their gratefulness. When they said that we're going to be charitable, they followed through with it. And so God Almighty, in the next world, which is the world that counts, that when he gives them a taste after enduring so many hardships in this world, they will forget. When they give a taste of paradise, they will forget all of the tests and trials that they went through in this world. All the tests and the trials. And these ayahs in Surah Yunus, these ayahs are ayahs in which God Almighty wants us to reflect. He wants us to reflect on that everything is in God's hands. Everything. Everything in God's hands. The good that you have is in God, so thank Him. When things do not happen right, or you're put through a test and trials, it's still in His hands. Be steadfast, have patience, and ask of Him. Ask of Him. And God Almighty will relieve it from you. He'll relieve it from you. And He'll replace it with something good. Or He will reward you in the next world for your patience through it. He'll reward you in the next world for your patience through it. And so hold steadfast. And if you hold steadfast, then only good will happen. And good will happen in this world, and good will happen in the next world. And And so these are the verses that we recited, that was recited today. Remember, Wallahu yad'u ila daru salam, that God invites you to all, He invites you all to the home of peace. وَيَهْدِ مَا يَشَاءَ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and He guides whoever He wills to the straight path. And so we ask God Almighty to make sure, we ask God Almighty to invite us to the home of peace, and we ask God Almighty to keep us on the straight path. Ameen.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Zahir, for your enlightening words. May Allah bless you and your family, and preserve and protect you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh. Mahmoud Durgan, as he sings La ilaha illallah, which simply means there is no deity deserving of worship but God Almighty. The ayats we played at the top of the program, chapter 10, verses 21 to 25, there's a particular ayat in that, in verse 24, ayat meaning verse or sign, and we would try to relate that to
this posturing by empire that they are eternal. The classical explainers of the Quran themselves give us the tools to read verse 24 as a critique of empire. In chapter 24, it says, "The example of worldly life is like rain we send down from the sky until the earth takes on its adornment and is beautified, and its people think they have power over it. Our command comes by night or by day, and we make it like a harvested field as though it had not flourished yesterday." So empire is and has this illusion of permanence. The earth takes on its adornment in this ayah it is mentioned. It's a civilizational spectacle. At-Tabari explains adornment as wealth, architecture, cultivation, visible signs of prosperity. In our time, in contemporary times, we can look at this as skyscrapers, megacities, financial districts, military parades, technological supremacy, cultural dominance, media saturation. Empire must be seen to be believed, and power is beautified. And the ayah continues, "Its people think they have power over it, the myths of control." Ibn Kathir notes this phrase as a false sense of certainty, as a collective delusion. Modern empire expresses this as too big to fail, rules-based order, end of history, permanent security architecture. The Quran exposes this as false, not knowledge, not truth. The rain metaphor, external dependence masks as self-sufficiency. Rain is not produced by the earth itself. Ar-Razi highlights growth depends on what descends from beyond human control. Empires claim self-made greatness, technological autonomy, historical inevitability. Verse 24 reminds us, power arises from above, not from within empire. The verse continues, "Our command comes by night or by day. Sudden systemic collapse." Al-Qurtubi says, "The timing signifies unpredictability. For empires, financial crashes, supply chain collapses, pandemics, moral delegitimization, internal decay. Collapse is rarely announced. It appears normal until it isn't." And the verse continues, "Like a harvested field. Total reversal, not gradual decline, not a slow withering, not negotiated reform. Total erasure of the narrative of eternity, as we have seen in former empires, the Roman Empire, the Abbasid Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, the Soviet Union, each believe itself to be the final form." As the verse continues, "As though it had not flourished yesterday." There's historical amnesia. The phrase is devastating. At-Tabari says it means power vanishes so completely it becomes unbelievable it ever existed. The modern parallel is we see empty factories, rust belts, abandoned bases, failed currencies, irrelevant institutions. Empire collapses first in meaning, then in material form. The Quranic diagnosis of empire, verse 24, does not merely predict collapse. It explains why empires misread reality. For example, the empires claim eternal order. The Quranic reality, it's a temporary adornment. Empires claim human mastery. The Quranic reality, it's an illusion of control. Empires claim security. The Quranic reality, there is sudden vulnerability. Empires claim progress. Quranic reality, it's reversible. Empires claim legacy. Quranic reality, forgettable. Why does this verse terrify power? It terrifies power because it says collapse is not punishment alone. It is structural, built into this worldly life, the dunya itself. Empire is not destroyed despite its beauty, but because it mistakes beauty for permanence. And then there is the final contrast, verse 25. Immediately after this parable, and Allah calls to the home of peace. Empire offers order without justice, security without meaning, stability without truth. God offers Darussalam, peace without collapse. So Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 24, is the Quranic demolition of imperial eternity myths, ancient or modern, exposing empire as rain-fed, spectacle-driven, structurally fragile, and historically forgettable. Let's listen to Ashika Rasool as they sing, "Hear My Cry."
Why can you not see, why can you not feel my cries as they flow through my tears? I still have nothing, no future no more, my family, my home, they've taken it all, yeah. Tell me, what have I done, why am I here, all covered in blood, nowhere to be, why, why?
Ashika Rasool and the song lyrics, Hear My Cry. Let's look further at the Quranic trilogy against the myth of civilizational permanence. In Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th chapter of the Quran, verse 20, God describes empire as competitive spectacle. He says, know that life of this world is play, amusement, adornment, mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in wealth and children. Ibn Kathir says the verse describes stages of dunya attachment from distraction to rivalry. Al-Qurtubi, takafur, or boasting is not private pride, but public display. Al-Razi says the sequence is psychological and social, not random. And if we were to link this to chapter 10, verse 24, which we explored earlier, it says that adornment, boasting, and competition, this is exactly how empires function. Military rankings, GDP leagues, tech supremacy races, great power competition. The key phrase in verse 24 of chapter 10, like rain whose growth pleases the farmers, then it dries and turns yellow. This is the same metaphor as in chapter 24, sorry. Like rain whose growth pleases the farmers, then it dries and turns yellow, is referenced in chapter 57, verse 20. And it's the same metaphor used in chapter 10, verse 24, but it's sharper. The admiration phase is emphasized, the decay is inevitable, the ending is explicit, crushed debris. And if we look again at the empire as moral arrogance, we can see chapter 18, verses 32 to 44, the two gardens, where one man says he possesses abundance, has infrastructure, enjoys continuity of production, speaks in the language of eternity, when he says in verse 35 of chapter 18, I do not think this will ever perish. And in the classical explanation of the Quran, Al-Tabari says, his sin is not wealth, it is denial of collapse. Ibn Kathir says, he combines economic power with theological arrogance. Al-Qurtubi said, this is kufr niyama, ingratitude disguised as success. And when we parallel this with empire, this man speaks like a financial system claiming permanence, a political order calling itself the end of history, a civilization equating continuity with legitimacy. He even imagines afterlife privilege when he says in that verse, even if I am returned to my Lord, I will find something better. Empire theology always survives collapse until it doesn't. And collapse comes without warning. And his fruits were destroyed. Chapter 18, verse 42. No gradual reform, no moral awakening, no managed decline. Exactly like chapter 10, verse 24. Our command comes by night or by day. Al-Razi notes, suddenness is part of divine justice, because arrogance assumes delay equals approval. So the Quranic pattern, all three passages in chapter 10, verse 24, its civilizational beauty, chapter 57, verse 20, competitive spectacle, chapter 18, verse 35, moral arrogance. The same end, sudden reversal, total narrative collapse, historical forgettability. Theological exposure of empire. The Quran does not accuse empire of having power. It accuses empire of misinterpreting power. That power is not equal to permanence. Growth is not equal to divine favor. Delay is not equal to approval. Survival is not equal to legitimacy. This is why empires fear moral critique more than military threat. Why these verses matter now? The modern empire treats dominance as destiny, confuses systems with salvation, mistakes delay for endorsement, manufactures consent to normalize injustice. The Quran calls this ornament, play, deception of the world. The exit clause. Each passage offers a way out. In chapter 10, verse 25, it's Todaro Salam, the house of peace. In chapter 57, verse 21, it's race towards forgiveness. in chapter 18, verse 44, true authority belongs to God alone. So where empire says this order is eternal, the Quran replies three times, you are rain-fed, spectacle-driven, morally brittle, and forgettable. Let's listen now to a track about going strong for justice.
But I know one day you will realize it's the mercies of God that has kept us alive. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. You've got to focus your eyes on the prize. If you slip, you will fly, and from God you can't hide. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. And if you don't have no love in your heart, then we'll have to depart, because you need love to start. To sing a new song for justice, for peace to go through. And although it can bite me down, I get stronger and stronger, I'm always around. I'm rooted and ground for justice, still I go through.
Yes, our search for justice. Justice is essential to the practice of faith as taught by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him. And let us look at the Quranic theory of empire, justice versus oppression, in this age. The Quranic starting point is power is not neutral. Power does not condemn power itself. It condemns power detached from justice. Allah commands justice, chapter 57, verse 25. In classical explanation, Al-Asfahani says, justice is not equality of outcome, but the right placement of rights, limits, and responsibilities. Oppression is not chaos, it is order built on misallocation. This distinction is essential for understanding modern-day empire. The contemporary explanation of empire, as Adon Dunya, chapter 10, verse 24, describes a system that grows rapidly, beautifies itself, convinces its people they control it, collapses suddenly. That is, in today's term, translated as financialization replaces production, growth replaces justice, markets replace moral limits, stability masks extraction. The empire presents itself as unnatural, inevitable, and eternal. But the Quran names this ornamentation without substance. From when we look at again at chapter 57, verse 20, Al-Hadid adds the psychology of empire. Mutual boasting and rivalry in wealth and children. And how does the contemporary dynamics show this? As GDP rankings, military budgets, tech monopolies, global competitiveness. Al-Qurtubi says that tafakhur, or boasting, is public performance of superiority. Empire must constantly prove itself because it lacks moral grounding. The core sin is denial of accountability. When we look at chapter 18, verse 35, I do not think this will ever perish. This is not economic confidence, it is theological arrogance. In today's world, it's translated in the creed, there is no alternative. Market self-correct. Collapse is impossible. Growth will solve inequality. Ibn Kathir says the man of the garden committed disbelief by denying reversibility. Empire denies accountability by denying collapse. How empire produces oppression while claiming order? The Quran repeatedly links oppression to systemic injustice, not disorder. The forms of oppression, structural poverty amid abundance, racialized and globalized extraction, debt regimes, media manufacturing consent, criminalization of resistance. When you look at chapter 10, verse 23, where God says, your transgression is only against yourselves. Empire's violence rebounds in social fragmentation, ecological collapse, moral exhaustion. And why collapse is sudden and just? Our command comes by night or by day. Arazi said, suddenness is necessary because empire mistakes delay for approval. Collapse is not arbitrary. It is restoration of moral balance. This is why financial crises feel irrational. Empires fall without warning. Institutions implode from within. Justice as the antidote to empire. The Quran offers justice, not reformist tinkering, so that people may uphold justice. Chapter 57, verse 25. Justice demands limits on accumulation, accountability of power, protection of the vulnerable, truthful media, redistribution, not charity. Empire cannot tolerate justice because justice exposes extraction. Manufactured consent versus Quranic consciousness. Today's empire survives by normalizing injustice, beautifying inequality, turning oppression into policy necessity. The Quran disrupts this by naming deception, exposing spectacle, and recentering accountability. And the Quran does give exit strategies in Darussalam. Every imperial critique ends with an alternative. Chapter 10, verse 25, Darussalam, or the House of Peace. Chapter 57, verse 21, Race Toward Forgiveness. Chapter 18, verse 44, Authority Belongs to God Alone. This is not escapism. It is moral reorientation. So today's empire is condemned in the Quran not because it is powerful, but because it is powerful without justice, stable without justice, beautiful without truth, and enduring without accountability, and therefore structurally oppression and divinely oppressive and divinely unsustainable. Let's listen to a bit of Rohingya et al.
They were people with a stolen story. Caught between here and nowhere. They cried out, but no one heard them. Wandering at home in exile, they were wandering at home in exile. They were people with a stolen story.
Joshua Moore as he sings Rohingya et al. Now let's listen to a bit of commentary from Sami Hamdi about the state of the Ummah or the Muslims. Sami Hamdi is well known in the community for his very insightful commentary.
When people talk about the Ummah like it's weak, when people talk about the Ummah like it's doomed, when people say this Ummah there is no khair in it, I wonder if that is the truth, or if perhaps the pace of change that Allah has decreed for the affairs is what you actually have a problem with. Whether it's that the Ummah is in a weak state, or whether you're saying, Allahumma, the pace that you've decided, I don't like it. Allahumma, the way you're handling the things,
I'm not for it.
Allahumma, I'm not for it. Allahumma, the sa'i that you've asked for me, that you say is mashkura, Allahumma, unless I can see clearly how Palestine is going to be liberated, don't tell me to go and protest, go and shout in the middle of Toronto, you know, uselessly with some flags or whatever. Like, don't tell me, you know, good to go and boycott as if it may. Don't tell me to go. I don't think Muslims, if they look deep down, I don't think their issue is the state of the Ummah itself. I think their issue is, Allahumma, why is it like this? Why have you decreed it like this? Allahumma, I don't like it. Allah, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has somehow lifted his hand of blessing from this Ummah itself. Whereas the reality is the opposite. And this is where I finish on this point about إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. We assume that means that one day we will have the F-16s and we will be this glorious, prosperous, economic empires. My grandfather was Algerian. He fought against the French in Algeria. I asked him, Jiddi, did Allah yarham, I told him, Jiddi, did you, when you fought, did you think you would win? And he looked at me, my dad, my granddad was a bit gruff, you know, he was like, what do you mean? We thought we were going to win. He goes, they had superior military materials. I said, so why go? He goes, we just thought it was the right thing to do. And then when liberation came, 1962, 5 years later, we were like, Allah, we're free.
Wow.
You look at the Vietnam, the Americans and the French were there. They're not there anymore. It's not because they were polite. They got kicked out. You look at Omar Mukhtar, there's that famous story where his soldiers, they say to him, Ya Sheikh, they have F-16s, wahna, look what we have. You know, we have just, you know. And Omar Mukhtar says to them, Allah yarhamu, they say they have planes and we don't have planes. He said, do their planes fly over the Arsh of Allah or below the Arsh of Allah?
Allah. Like that.
And they all go quiet, so they all go below the Arsh of Allah. He said, the one on the Arsh is with us. And he says it with such yaqeen.
Allah.
Even when he talks to Graziani, the Italian general, when he's captured, Graziani tells him, why do you keep going? Why? When you are materially inferior, when you there's no way you can practically beat us. And Omar Mukhtar knows it. In the book Road to Mecca by Muhammad Asad, when he meets Omar Mukhtar, he tells Omar Mukhtar, you know, you look quite doomed. Why don't you retreat into Egypt or Saudi? And he says, listen, maybe we will not win in our lifetime, but we'll do what we do and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will handle the rest. That's what he says. When Graziani says to him, why do you keep going when all of the dynamics show you that Palestine is going to be, you know, destroyed or whatever and the genocide is not ending, etc. Omar Mukhtar responds to Graziani and looks at him confused. He says to him, for us it's very simple. We strive. If we win in this life, we win. If we don't, Allah rewards us and gives us Jannah. You're the one, miskeen, who has to fight the generation, then the next generation, then the next generation of people who strive because of the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Fall out.
Ali as he sings the reggae style, Tala al-Badru alayna. Thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in. And until next week, inshallah, peace out. And again, leave you with Muhyiddin Chisti's final words before his passing.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance, dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment." Alhamdulillah.
You are listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
ਟਰੱਕ ਸਰਵਿਸਿੰਗ ਖੇਤਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਓਨਟਾਰੀਓ ਦਾ ਮੋਹਰੀਨਾ ਕੁਇਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਲਿਊਬ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਟਰੱਕ ਚਲਾਉਣੇ ਜਾਂ ਫਲੀਟ ਹੈਗੀ ਜੇ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਵੈਲਿਊ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਅਪਾਇੰਟਮੈਂਟ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਫਰਸਟ ਕਮ ਫਰਸਟ ਸਰਵਡ ਸਟੇਟ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਆਰਟ ਫੈਸਿਲਿਟੀ ਟ੍ਰੇਨਡ ਟੈਕਨੀਸ਼ੀਅਨਸ ਰਾਹੀਂ ਬੈਸਟ ਹਾਈ ਗ੍ਰੇਡ ਆਇਲਸ ਫਿਲਟਰਸ ਇੰਜਨ ਦੀ ਜਾਨ ਵਧਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਤਿੰਨ ਲੋਕੇਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਸੇਵਾ ਕਰਦੇ QTL ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 268 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਕੈਂਬਰਿਜ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 579 ਹਾਈਵੇ 401 ਨੈਪਨੀ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਟ 5 QEW ਫੋਰਟ ਏਰੀ ਸਰਵਿਸ ਹੋਰ ਕੁਆਲਿਟੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪ੍ਰਮੁੱਖ ਨਾਂ QTL 519-622-0660 ਜੋ ਆਵੇ ਸੋ ਰਾਜ਼ੀ ਜਾਵੇ
ਮੇਰੀ ਪੂਰੇ ਸਾਲ ਕੀ ਸੇਵਿੰਗ $400 ਹੋਈ ਹੈ
ਮੇਰੀ ਸੇਵਿੰਗ $350
ਔਰ ਮੇਰੀ ਸੇਵਿੰਗ ਸਬਸੇ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ ਮੈਨੇ ਸੇਵ ਕੀਏ ਹੈ $2000
ਕਿਆ ਚਮਤਕਾਰ ਕੀਆ ਮੁਝੇ ਵੀ ਗੁਰ ਸਿਖਾਓ ਨਾ
ਕੋਈ ਬਾਤ ਸਾਦਾ ਸੀ ਹੈ ਹਮਾਰੇ ਪਾਸ ਦੋ ਗਾੜੀਆਂ ਔਰ ਇੱਕ ਘਰ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇਨ ਸਭ ਕੀ ਇੰਸ਼ੋਰੈਂਸ ਮਿਲਾ ਕਰ ਮੈਨੇ ਜ਼ਬਰਦਸਤ ਸੇਵਿੰਗ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਵੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਗਾੜੀ ਔਰ ਘਰ ਕੀ ਇੰਸ਼ੋਰੈਂਸ ਮੈਂ ਖੂਬ ਸੇਵਿੰਗ ਕਰ ਸਕਤੇ ਹੈ 647-290-3773 647-290-3773
ਹੈਲੋ ਨਵਦੀਪ ਕੀ ਹਾਲ ਹੈ ਬਲਜੀਤ ਗੱਲ ਕਰ ਰਹੀ ਹਾਂ ਯੂਕੇ ਤੋਂ
ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕੈਨੇਡਾ ਤੋਂ ਯੂਕੇ ਗਏ ਹੋ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਰੋਮਿੰਗ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਵੇਗੀ ਤੇ ਬਿੱਲ ਬਹੁਤ ਵੱਡਾ ਆਵੇਗਾ
ਫਿਕਰ ਦੀ ਕੋਈ ਗੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੈ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਬੀਵਰਟੈਲ ਦੀ ਰੋਮਿੰਗ ਸਰਵਿਸਿਸ ਹੈ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਘੱਟ ਕੀਮਤ ਤੇ 5G ਇੰਟਰਨੈਟ ਰੋਮਿੰਗ ਸਰਵਿਸਿਸ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕਿਤੇ ਵੀ ਟ੍ਰੈਵਲ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਯੂਕੇ ਇੰਡੀਆ ਪਾਕਿਸਤਾਨ ਸਾਊਦੀ ਅਰੇਬੀਆ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਘੱਟ ਕੀਮਤ ਤੇ ਡਾਟਾ ਰੋਮਿੰਗ ਹਾਸਲ ਕਰੋ ਜੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਵੀ ਟ੍ਰੈਵਲ ਦਾ ਪਲਾਨ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਤਾਂ ਬੀਵਰਟੈਲ ਨੂੰ ਕੰਟੈਕਟ ਕਰੋ 416-243-9836 416-243-9836 ਜਾਂ ਫਿਰ ਵਿਜ਼ਿਟ ਕਰੋ beavertel.com
ਸੀਟ ਮਹਿਲ ਤੇ ਸਾਧ ਦੀ ਆਰੋ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਹੋਈ ਦੀਵਾਨੀ ਹੋ ਸ਼ੁੱਧ ਖੋਏ ਦੀ ਜੇ ਮਿਠਿਆਈ ਰਜ ਰਜ ਕੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਖਾਣੀ ਨੌਨ ਵੈਜ ਤੇ ਵੈਜ ਫੂਡ ਦਾ ਸਾਧ ਬੜਾ ਤੂਫਾਨੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਵੀਟ ਮਹਿਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭਣਾ ਨੀ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਨੀ
ਵਧੇਰੇ ਜਾਣਕਾਰੀ ਦੇ ਲਈ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੰਪਰਕ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਸੁਖਾ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਨੂੰ 416-679-9991 ਤੇ 416-679-9191